You're listening to Irish Sports Talk. Hello, Notre fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 328. This is our Notre Dame opponents preview and recap podcast, looking at week two, who our opponents are facing, and how they did in week one. Randall's joining me via Skype. And Randall, you were at the Brian Kelly radio show. How did that go?
It went pretty good. The place was packed out. Some people said they were there at 4:30 already to try to get a seat, and it was already full, and it didn't start till 7:30. So
hold
up. If you're planning to go, you should probably be there early.
I went one time, and it is incredibly packed. Do you think most of the people that go are people that are here for the weekend for the game?
Yeah, some of them are. Home games are definitely more packed than the away games. I think the last time I went, it must have been an away game because I didn't have a hard time at all. I got there a little bit before, but there was seats available. Okay. So there's definitely more people there when it's a home game. Because there was people from Massachusetts. I know there were some that asked questions. And so, yeah, definitely people from out of state. They had the tight ends there tonight, had all four tight ends. So interesting to hear what they had to say. I guess the biggest thing I heard was just Brian Kelly talking about that call against Torrey Hunter. He said he wants to move past that, but then he continued to talk about it for a couple minutes. So I don't know if the NCAA is going to come after him. His comments were that, you know, from now, this year, the refs can review
a targeting call.
But it has to be a pretty aggressive one. And said now they know that you literally have to take off somebody's head for it to be reviewed. And he also commented that he thinks that the refs should be accountable, just like the coaches are accountable for what they do. So
I have I love it when players, coaches call out the refs. I don't like it when they blame the refs for losing a game, but I do think everyone should, like you said, they should be held accountable. If they make a mistake, I'm not saying it's intentional, but if you make a mistake, you need to own up to it and suffer the consequences.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, let's talk about our opponents, and we'll get started with Texas. After defeating Notre Dame, Texas faces the mighty UTEP Miners. This game could be easy to miss because it's going to be on the Longhorn Network. It's at 7 p.m. on Saturday. And there's a 30-point spread in this game, so definitely not one that you need to tune in on. And typically, I like to watch games where Notre Dame has yet to play the opponent anyway, just so I kind of get an idea what it's going to be like, what the team is like. But a team like Texas, I will definitely be keeping an eye on them to see, are they as good as they appear? They're number 11 now in the polls, I think is a little bit of an extreme jump, but they definitely deserve to be in the top 25, and they deserve to be ahead of Notre Dame.
Yeah, and they are now the highest-ranked team in their schedule. Like, they don't play anybody that's ranked higher than them at this point.
You mean Notre Dame doesn't have an opponent remaining?
Texas.
Okay.
And they do play some ranked opponents, but right now they're all ranked lower than what Texas is themselves. So I guess we'll have to wait and see how they do.
Michigan State played Furman Paladins in week one, and they do have a bye week this week. They scored consistently against Furman. They had a touchdown in every quarter, but it wasn't a blowout of a game that you would kind of expect facing an FCS opponent. It was 28-13, but they definitely will be well rested when they face Notre Dame. However, I think that could work against them.
Yeah, I agree, and I'm actually not concerned about them as much as I would earlier. I mean, they obviously beat Furman, but 28-13 doesn't sound that great.
I'm still very concerned about them because I expect to see a power running team if they're anything like they were in the past. And I am concerned that our defensive ends are going to be able to, especially the weak side defensive ends, going to be able to hold up against their power running attack.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned. They don't have those big name running backs that they have in years past, or at least they're not big names at this point. But yeah, definitely still able to run the ball.
All right, and next we have Duke. They defeated FCS opponent North Carolina Century Eagles 49-6, but they did turn the ball over 5 times. Now, in week 2, they face Wake Forest. And Wake Forest also is undefeated. They won their week 1 opponent, but they did it. They only scored 7 points in week 1, and it was against Tulane. So This is going to be – Duke does have a very good offense, and I'm not sure how good the defense Wake Forest has because they were playing Tulane. They allowed a field goal. But either way, it'll be kind of an interesting game just because it's a Notre Dame opponent, and be curious to see if they're able to put up big numbers against a Power 5 team. The spread in this game is only 5 points in Duke's favor. I definitely do expect them to win, but it could be a close game.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot to say on this team. I guess maybe I expect them to easily cover that spread against Wake Forest. But.
Okay, next Syracuse, and this is that they play Louisville. And this game is probably the best top 25 game that is happening this week. I was just looking at the spreads a little bit of top 25 teams, and there's one other game that I think is overall a better game than the Syracuse-Louisville game, but this definitely is one of the more interesting ones just as far as a two quality opponents playing each other. But Syracuse are coming off a 33-7 win against Colgate in week 1. Their quarterback, Dungy, passed for 355 yards and 2 touchdowns, and their leading receiver had 210 yards receiving with 12 catches and 1 touchdown. So definitely they do have, at least against Colgate, I know, it's tough to see, I'm not sure how this is going to translate against a Power 5 team and against a team like Louisville, which it definitely will have a solid defense. But it will be a fun matchup, and it's a Friday night game, so you don't need to. You can catch this one Friday night. Don't need to give up a Saturday to watch this game. The spread in this game is 15 points in Louisville's favor, and I think it'll be closer than that. I don't think it'll be a 15-point game. I think Louisville will win, but I do think it'll be closer than 15 points.
I'm not as convinced as you are, and I think it's actually sad that this is one of the better games this weekend.
Well, we were kind of spoiled in week 1. There were a lot of good games.
Well, I know. It sounded like everybody's stepping up their game and playing better opponents, but it seems in week 2 they're making up for that week 1.
True.
So,
North Carolina State, they in week 1, they also played an FCS opponent. They had 521 total yards of offense. They beat they won by a score of 48-14. They do have a tougher opponent in week 2. On Saturday at noon, they play East Carolina Pirates. They're not one of the Power 5, but East Carolina has been a solid team the past few years, and the spread in this game is only 6 points in North Carolina, North Carolina State's favor. And just to give you... I thought it was kind of interesting. North Carolina State had a total of 521 yards total offense. It was against FCS opponent, but East Carolina State had 688 yards, almost 700 yards of total offense against their FCS opponent, and that was week 1 against WCU, the Western Carolina Catamounts. So again, it's not, you know, it's an FCS opponent, but still, that's a lot of yards to put up on any team. But I also want to clarify, I put very little into Power 5 teams playing FCS opponents, because it just doesn't matter. And a team, it could be a semi-close game. For example, Tennessee nearly losing to Appalachian State, and they could absolutely destroy. I believe they play Virginia Tech. I believe, yes, they do play our opponent, Virginia Tech. So Tennessee could come out and just destroy Virginia Tech. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't expect that from Tennessee. I think they're a little overhyped in the preseason. But you're right, it is football. That's one thing we heard from Nevada's coach, Brian Poling, this past week. You know, they barely won their game, but he's like, it's a win. You know, some are tougher than others. Some are just different. Thing is, you still come out with a win, and you move on to the next game.
Stanford did have a 26-13 victory over Kansas State in week one. They do have a bye week coming up here, and then they have a really tough three-game stretch. But against Kansas State, they only moved the ball 272 yards on offense. They still came away with the win, but they do have some work to do. And I do remember last year, they ended up having a pretty high-powered offense towards the end of the year, but they did have, if memory serves, I didn't go back and look at this, but I believe they started out struggling against some opponents the beginning of the year, putting up points. So I still think Stanford's going to be a really solid, really powerful team, and they definitely need to be if they want to come away with three wins these next 3 weeks. They do have a bye week here, but these next 3 weeks.
Yeah, they definitely have a tough schedule coming up, and definitely be a big matchup against USC, where I think Stanford is trying to show that they still are that, still have a very good offense, good team, and USC, you know, will have to, it'll take a couple weeks to recover from the Alabama game. So it'll be a tough matchup between these two.
And then Miami also played against an FCS opponent, and they won by a score of 70-3. It is an FCS opponent. I know I brought up some numbers earlier, but it's FCS. Don't really know what to expect. And in week two, they're doing the same. Another FCS opponent. They're favored by 24 points this week, but not something that will really be interesting or tell us a whole lot about Miami.
Yeah, they can score points against a cupcake team is about all we know at this point.
Navy, they lost their starting QB for the year. You guys all probably know the story. They pulled the backup quarterback who was in the stands, not dressed for the game, and he came in and finished the game. They did score. I thought I had it here. They scored. They did still score 52 points. Now, it was against an FCS opponent, but still put up a lot of points. And then in week two, this will be their real matchup test. They play Connecticut, and they're favored by 4 points in this game, and it'll be interesting to see if they're able to keep their offense clicking with their backup quarterback.
Yeah, I think they'll be okay. The style of offense that they run, they rely heavily on the running backs. I think they'll still be okay with this, with another quarterback stepping in.
Army was maybe the most interesting Notre Dame opponent from last week. They were a 15-point dog to Temple, and they defeated them 28-13 while only passing for 15 yards.
Wow.
Now, they did rush for a total of 329 yards, but they're very, at least in against Temple, they were very one-dimensional, but they were able to come away with the victory. They face Rice this week at noon, and they're a 9-point favorite against Rice. All right, and then Virginia Tech. So they were victorious in week one against an FCS opponent. In week two, they faced Tennessee, who really struggled with Appalachian State. But they're still not Virginia is still favored in this game by 12 or sorry, Tennessee's favored in this game, as they should be. But they Virginia Tech, I don't know. I know we were talking about this a few minutes ago. Tennessee struggled against an FCS team. I don't know what to expect from them, to be honest. I expect them to win, but I don't know if I expect them to be one of the top SEC teams like they were projected to be.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I expect them to win, but not as easily as a lot of their fans would want them to.
All right, and then our last opponent, USC. I watched part of this game, and it was really competitive in the first quarter and a half, but USC did pull away a little in the first half and then absolutely rolled their way over USC in the second half. USC lost 6-52. And good thing for USC, they do have an easier opponent coming up. They play Utah State Aggies, and they're a 16-point favorite against the Aggies. USC did not score a touchdown in their first game, but I do expect them to pick up a win here.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll come out angry or if they'll come out deflated. That's a pretty devastating loss.
It is. We think ours is bad, but at least with our game, we know a flip of a coin, and it could have been different. We wouldn't, even if Notre Dame would have won in overtime, we wouldn't have had our pride, but we wouldn't have had our pride flushed down the toilet like USC did.
Yeah. It was basically flushed down the toilet and brought back up with a plunger and flushed again. So.
All right, as far as other matchups this week, there really aren't a lot. The one matchup that is close is number 15 TCU versus Arkansas. It's a 7.5-point spread. A lot of the other top 25 teams are playing significantly lesser opponents, and a lot of them are playing FCS opponents. And so this is one, if you just want to watch good football, this is one that you can watch if you're looking for a top 25 team to watch.
Yeah, it's pretty sad if you look at the rest of the schedule. I mean, you got Texas A&M playing Prairie View. Georgia's playing Nichols.
Prairie View just sounds like a community church.
Exactly. Houston's playing Lamar. Clemson's playing Troy. Florida State plays Charleston Southern. Wisconsin plays Akron.
This is a great week if you want to score some brownie points with your wife or your girlfriend. This is the weekend to do it, because aside from 3:30 to 6:30, other than that, you can get some work done around the house, and you won't be missing out on any good football.
No.
All right, that's all.
Ole Miss and Wofford, and yeah, the list goes on and on. It's bad.
That's all we got for our week two Notre Dame opponents podcast. Anything else, Randall, from you before we wrap this up?
Right after we recorded yesterday's podcast, it was announced that Kaiser is going to be the starting quarterback. So that was definitely some good news, in my opinion. You know who the quarterback is. Instead of trying this two-quarterback system again.
And do we have our winner, Randall, from our score predictions Twitter contest?
It would have been Musical Day?
Yeah, Musical Day. I believe he was the only one who predicted a loss, and he does this kind of just for the chance at getting free coffee.
It kind of looks like it.
So typically we'll announce the winner on our recap podcast, but because it was kind of a one less day to prepare, we didn't get that done. But you can tweet at us on Saturday, and then we'll have the winner on our Monday evening recap podcast. Oh, one other thing. We are doing the Game On app again. So if you don't have Twitter, don't know how to use Twitter, Game On is an app that's more like a live chat, And so we will be on that. It's the app is called Game On, and just look for Notre Dame. I think we'll be featured on Saturday, so you should be able to find the Irish Sports Talk Huddle is what the chat is called, and you can join us there. We'll be discussing Notre Dame football throughout the game, so join us there. And I guess until then, everybody, have a good Friday night. Have a good Friday night, and go Irish on Saturday.
Go Irish.